So let's turn our attention, first of all, now to Michelle from the Summerhill Occupation. Michelle, I believe you're on the line with us. Good morning.
Hi, Sabrina. How's it going?
Not too bad. So you've been busy.
Yes, we have. Been very, very busy. It's been a mad week.
That's probably putting it quite lightly.
Yes, it has. So just one second, sorry. I'm just on the phone, sorry. So a week ago today, we occupied a building on Summerhill Parade, number 35. And by we, I mean a kind of a coalition of various grassroots housing activist groups. And we've been doing that in protest against various things. The main reason is that we feel that enough is enough. There hasn't been any real meaningful attempts by the government to address the housing crisis, and the housing crisis is getting worse and worse and worse every day. The reason we chose this property was it was at the site of an eviction at the start of May. It's a slum landlord who owned the entire row, had a lot of people, mostly Brazilian students, living in here in very unpleasant conditions.
I'm just going to cut across you there actually for a moment, Michelle, because I'm very, very interested in finding out the condition of the house when you guys entered it, because in a previous life I was an English teacher, and a lot of my interaction were with Brazilian students who lived in these houses, and some of them lived in nice houses, some of them lived in not so nice houses, but all of them had some interaction with living in what's effectively a slum house. Could you give us an idea of what the condition of the house was like when you actually entered it?
So structurally totally fine. There was obviously a fair bit of dust because it had been left empty after the eviction for about 3 months, so you know, fair bit of dust, a little bit kind of musty, needs to be aired out. There's a lot of black mould, which is very unpleasant, particularly in the basement. And we do know that there was at least 3 people, probably more, living in the basement. So that was very unpleasant. A few of the bedrooms had black mould. We have been cleaning it up and getting rid of that as much as possible. There's kind of, it's grubby. It's mm-hmm. kind of a house that, you know, you'd expect when a lot of people have been living in a place and a high turnover.
How many people do you reckon were living in the house at any point, or do you have any indication of how many people could have been actually living in it?
We do. So I think we estimated that about 16 people, probably, maybe a little more even. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, there's about 5 bedroom. Well, you know, everything is now a bedroom, you know. So what we are now using as kind of a sitting room would have been a bedroom, and there were definitely at least 5 people sleeping in that room.
Right.
I would say roughly 16 people.
And to get an idea as well about, like, okay, if you're talking about 16 people, do you have any idea about approximately how much rent the people that were living in this were paying?
Yeah, so everyone was paying a reasonably high rent. So I would say people were paying at least 350 to 400 per month each, which is kind of shocking when you consider, you know, people cram into small rooms. That's what happens sometimes when you're a student. You do live in slightly unpleasant conditions because it's cheap, but these guys weren't really getting a particularly good deal. It wasn't cheap.
Well, just from a quick calculation, I mean, that one dwelling is, I mean, potentially 6 grand for 1 month.
Yeah.
1 month.
Okay. I would say at least that. Yeah, and that was paid in cash as well to the landlord. He didn't give rent books or anything like that. It was cash.
So there was
for one house.
Mm-hmm. So there was an unceremonious eviction as well a couple of months back.
Yes, very unceremonious. Yeah, I can go into detail about that if you like.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so that was over the May Bank holiday weekend just gone. And the landlord owns 7 houses in a row on Summerhill Parade, and they were all evicted within a few days. And what happened was the tenants were given, I think, 24 hours to get out. And initially, they weren't really getting any deposits back or anything like that. They were just kind of being dumped out. And the reason behind that was the fire inspector had been called, fire safety officer, and he had inspected the place, and he had deemed parts of the house unfit for people to live in, namely the basement and the attic, which I just mentioned, which are, like, we're not using them. They're not they're just not nice. Like, we can't really consciously have anybody in there. We have a little bit of storage, that's it. So they were told that the place was so far unsafe that they had to get out in 24 hours. The landlord got his people in and started to kind of harass them out and bully them. And they, one of the tenants contacted the group that I'm a member of, which is Dublin Central Housing Action. We offer support for people in, you know, who are having housing problems such as this. It's quite an extreme example. We usually have slightly, it's usually not quite as stressful when we deal with people. But they were being kicked out at very short notice. We came down, like a lot of people came down, and we helped the tenants to negotiate to get their deposits back. And we also told them, you know, if you want to do anything a little bit stronger, we're here, we'll help you. Now, they decided as a group that they didn't want to do that, which is fair enough.
How successful were you in getting the deposits returned?
Sorry?
How successful were you in getting the deposits returned?
Oh. Yeah, very. Each tenant got 500 in cash each. And that was, I'm actually totally forget exactly the amount of tenants, but it was roughly 120 people, so you can kind of do the math yourself.
Wow.
This landlord had a lot of cash, and he was able to get it out over the bank holiday weekend. It took him a couple of days. He did it house by house, but he did get 500 quid each, and a lot of them were able to then put down a deposit somewhere else, which they were very grateful for, because they were going to be sleeping on people's floors, you know, mm-hmm. otherwise, or on the street.
So I'm very interested to hear that. I can hear cars beeping in the background, and I don't know whether it's road rage or support.
I'm just excited.
So I'm very interested to see, like, now that in the present day, so you've occupied this house, this dwelling on 35 Summerhill Parade, and at the moment you've talked about that you're not using the attic or the basement for people. So do you have people actually sleeping in there?
We do, yeah. So we have shifts. People stay in the house at all times. A lot of people would kind of usually do one shift, which lasts about 8 hours, depending on what time of the day. So it means that people, like, you know, a lot of us would work and come after work, or then if someone isn't working during the day, they can do a daytime shift. So we kind of have a good amount of people in and out at all times. So there's people in, and people are staying over, and we have, you know, we have a night shift that some people get some sleep, and then some people keep watch.
And is the purpose of that in order to keep occupation in the house, or are the people who are sleeping there, are they activists, or are they people who have who are homeless?
Yeah, so it is to keep occupation of the house. It's a political occupation. It's not necessarily a live-in occupation. Mm-hmm. We have some people who are engaging in homeless services, and when they can or when they feel it's safe, they do stay a night or two. And then we have some people who are, you know, activists, like you say, who stay for 8 hours and then go off to work or go off to back home. So it's a mix of people. It's a really broad mix of people.
Now, I'm really curious, and as I mentioned about the car horn beeping there in the background, what is the support like? How is this being received on the ground? Because I know you guys have been going out door knocking and getting into the local community to find out how people feel about this occupation happening in their community. What's the response been like?
It's been really positive, really, really positive. Like, I'm just taken aback by how little flack we've got. You know, there have been one or two people, because we do a stall out the front of the house during the daytime, all afternoon usually, unless it's raining, which it hasn't been. And, you know, very few people have had anything negative to say. And as well online, because I am one of the people taking care of the Facebook page, there, you know, there's always going to be one or two people saying bad stuff, but for the most part, it's very, very positive. It's really heartening. It's really great. People, I think, realise that something needs to be done, and they're starting. I think people are starting to realise the government really doesn't have much interest in doing anything meaningful to sort it out. So people, I think, they kind of have an appetite, and they're, you know, a lot of people are fed up, so they kind of realise sometimes you need to take drastic action.
And I'm quite interested to hear from the reaction of, like, local residents around the area. Could you give us some examples of things that they have said, that, you know, how they're showing support, or are they just kind of agreeing with it in principle?
Oh yeah. So they're agreeing with the principle for sure. A lot of people are saying, do you need anything? We'll drop some stuff in, which is really, really nice. People dropping in food, people just hanging around for a chat. And then people kind of telling us all kinds of things about the landlord that they know because they're locals and stuff that happened there and stuff they've heard about. And as well, people are getting involved to actually stay and to actually come out if there is any hassle. We have an eviction call out list. They're getting involved in that. They're just knocking around. It's been really, really great.
Now, I'm sure a lot of people have... go ahead. Sorry, Michelle.
But no, yeah, as well, it's like there's other, there's other things that we kind of encourage people to do if they don't want to do any of those things. So we have posters that people can put on vacant houses, and we have one on all of the houses in this row. But we're encouraging people, even if you're not in the area, but you know in your own area that there are a lot of vacant houses, we're kind of encouraging people to poster those houses. And if they can't print the posters themselves, they can get in touch with us. It's a Summer Hill Occupation on Facebook. Send us a message and we'll have a chat there and get them to you. And we're also encouraging people from outside the immediate area, if they want to do some kind of an action, it doesn't have to be taking over a building. It can be something simple like doing an info stall or do some leafleting or, chatting to people about their housing issues. Or you could even set up some kind of a housing support group in your area. And we're very happy to talk to people who would like a bit of advice doing that. Like I say, you can just message the page and we'll kind of take it from there. So there are various ways you can help, even if you're not right beside or living in the immediate area.
Very good. Now, I'm very curious about, I'm sure a lot of people are comparing this to Apollo House, which is similar but different.
Yes.
Are similarities in that it is the occupation of a building. Of course, this is slightly different because it is a private building rather than something was in NAMA, and that's my understanding of it. I mean, Apollo House was a huge display of support and raising awareness.
Yes,
but it kind of disappeared and disintegrated, and its fate was not so good by the end of things. Are you looking at the situation from Apollo House, and are you doing things differently, or is there any lessons that you can take from that situation to make this more successful?
Yeah, totally. I think that was something we talked about a lot when we were considering, should we do this? I think to put it in I don't want to get too theoretical, but Apollo House was quite positive in many ways. But because it was so big, I think it became much more about keeping that going, keeping the stunt, I suppose, going, at the expense of an actual movement that could have come out of that, because there were so many people engaged with that and so many people got in touch and wanted to help and did help and were so inspired to help, and it was really, really lovely. But at the end, because it was so big, I think there was a lot of burnout and people were just not physically and mentally able to do anything afterwards. So we're almost 2 years later and there isn't the big housing movement that we kind of... I'll be honest, people did hope would come out of Apollo House. Mm-hmm. So with this occupation, we're kind of hoping to keep it more manageable for the groups on the ground, but have it as a sort of a flashpoint or a hub for activism and for helping people organise and for inspiring groups across the country to create a bigger movement.
Okay.
So it's... That's kind of the difference there. We've kind of learned from Apollo that you can only do so much in one direction, so we're kind of focusing on building out more constructively.
Okay, now tomorrow there is some action tomorrow. And there's a little bit of mystery surrounding this, which is I'm a devil for mystery. I do like a bit of intrigue into something. So tomorrow at 2:30 there is an event. So
I'd like
you to tell us kind of as much as you can about this event. I know that you're not really sure about how it's going to kind of pan out. So I'm just going to leave it over to you. Could you tell us what's happening tomorrow?
Yeah, so tomorrow at 2:30 in the afternoon, we're asking people to gather at outside 35 Summer Hill Parade. And we are going to march somewhere, and that's really all I can say. A lot of what we will do does depend on how big a crowd we can draw. I know it's in the middle of the day on a Tuesday or a weekday, so it maybe doesn't suit everybody, but we do just need to do this during the day because that is the time that the most disruption will be caused to the people that we want to disrupt, let's just put it that way. Our demands haven't been met. There's been no engagement from the council, city council at all. One of our demands is that this row of houses owned by the slum landlord gets purchased by the council so it can be turned into proper public housing. There has been no engagement from the council from that, or from the government. So all I can say is if you show up tomorrow, bring your marching boots. If you're not able to show up, that's fine. Keep an eye on the page. It could go on. Whatever we end up doing will possibly still be going on later on in the evening. So we might need people to join after work.
So from what I'm gathering, yeah. I mean, there's possibly there is a potential here for another building occupation. By the sounds of things, I'm kind of guessing here and kind of adding two and two together and potentially getting five. But by the sounds of things, I would assume here that there's potential here for another building occupation, depending on how many people that could actually decide what property that you could be occupying,
yes.
Or it could be a march to a particular place in order to do a protest.
It could be either of those things. It could be both of those things. It absolutely depends on who comes out and how many people we get out on the day.
Okay.
So it's going to be a good day. There's going to be more masks given out. You might have seen in the papers we have been wearing Leo Varadkar masks around the house. Just that's kind of partly to protect people's anonymity, given that, you know, there could be legal repercussions. But also, it just became such a funny visual that we decided to have a rally last week where we just gave everybody who came to that Leo Varadkar masks. So there'll be more Leo Varadkar masks. You get to kind of cosplay as Leo if you want to come along. We'll have them to give out to you.
Michelle,
so it'll be a bit of fun as well as...
Thank you very, very much for talking to us this morning, and I really appreciate it. I will be getting in touch with the Dublin City Council. I will be getting in touch with the Housing Minister, and I will certainly be reaching out as well to the landlord himself in order to have a right of response to some of the things that were said in this interview. Because
yeah, of course,
just of course, in the interest of balance, so those people can be expecting an email from me or a call from me in the next couple of in the next couple of hours.
They've been warned. Okay.
They've been warned. I'm very curious on one final question before I leave you go. You mentioned the idea of people being concerned about anonymity in terms of legality.
Yes.
Is that a significant concern for people?
Yeah, it is. I mean, we just have to take all concerns like that seriously. People can be quite litigious, and technically there could be a court case brought by this landlord against us. We're hoping it won't happen, but you just need to be careful about these things when you're doing any kind of an occupation or any kind of action against people who are very powerful and have a lot of money.
Precisely. Anyway, Michelle, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
No worries.
And
thanks so much, Sabrina.
It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. So tomorrow afternoon, what time is that action starting tomorrow?
From 2:30 in the afternoon.
And if people want to get to know a little bit more about it, where's the best place for them to go? I assume Facebook.
Oh yeah, the Facebook page. It's just Summerhill Occupation on Facebook. We're not actually on Twitter, but you can follow Dublin Central Housing Action on Twitter, which is one of the groups involved. I have to say, there's a lot of other groups involved too. But I know for sure that we are tweeting about that quite a bit. If you want to keep an eye as well on Twitter, so that's the best way.
All right, Michelle, listen, I won't hold you any longer. You've got a lot of work to do, so chop, chop now and back to it. Isn't that it?
Okay, cheers. Thanks
Thank
so
you
much
very much.
Bye-bye.
So that was Michelle there from the Summerhill Occupation. Absolute pleasure to talk to her this morning.